This is the National Public Broadcast of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, Muslim leader.
Thank you. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. We praise God. Thank you very much. We praise God and we witness that He's one and cares about all this that's in the universe, His creation, everything, and cares especially about the life and progress of human beings. we salute the last prophet Muhammad, who received our sacred book, the Quran, over 14 centuries ago in a desert area, the land of the Arabs, now called Saudi Arabia. We salute him with sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the prayers and the peace be upon him, and what follows of that salutation. We thank God for our presence here, and I'm happy to be again here in Washington, D.C., nation's capital, and especially to be here today with you all on the campus of Howard University. We have come a long ways, and we have had good help. Before the Nation of Islam, we had excellent minds developing and developed in the leadership of black people on this continent, African American people, as we call ourselves today. We had excellent help, and the best help did come from those who had broad view, very broad view, not narrow in their thinking and not narrow in their concerns and interests, but very broad, wanting to address the community life. We have the church leading the way for a long while. The church was established in our schools, the schools that our children graduated from and became very productive persons for us, for our life, for the progress of our life. They were educated in schools established by churches, by the church. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he came and he was quite different, but he also was moved to move others to be interested in the bigger picture, the broad picture, the broad view, the bigger picture, to take upon ourselves, even though we were poor in the pocket, we weren't poor in our hearts, we weren't poor in our minds, we were just poor in the pocket. But to take upon ourselves the responsibility to better our material environment. The great work of building a nation, as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad would say over and over again to us, we are building a nation, are in the common simple language of today, now that we are thinking more in a practical way and in a plain and simple way to achieve and accomplish things in an environment now that welcomes us, or at least feels obligated to welcome us because of the progress that the civil rights movement made, with the pressure put on the civil rights movement and on this world by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, that little big man. We have now equal opportunity. We have now courts that will protect the rights of our citizenship if someone denies us those rights, or if an institution denies us those rights. We do have the law on our side, and we can take the matter before the courts. So we've made a lot of progress, and we've come a long ways, and we've had a lot of good help. The focus is still the same. What what brought great joy to my heart was when I became familiar with Scripture, with our holy book, the Quran, but also with the Bible. I did something that my father said I was not raised to do, and he's right there. I sure was not raised to study the Bible, but I did it because I felt an obligation to do that. If I'm going to address people from Christian life, and most of his followers, practically every one of them, came from Christian life. Originally, they were Christians. Now, I'm not speaking of the lifeline. The lifeline of black people or the lifeline of African Americans, you know, go back to Africa. And you know, when you go to Africa, you see a great presence of Muslims in Africa. And they were there when we were brought here from Africa on slave ships. The Muslims were there, divided like they are now, and having a lot of trouble then, back then, like they're having now. So here in this country, our life goes back to the church. The plantation life and the horrors of that life wiped out almost every trace of Islamic heritage. Even the memory of it was wiped out. That is not to say that all of us came from Muslim lands or from Muslim life. No, many, in fact, the greater number might have come from traditional tribal religions of Africa, and some from Christianity. But mind you, not many from Christianity, because when the persons of the church learned that Christians had been enslaved, brought from Africa and made slaves, they put pressure on them to not to do that. They didn't want Christians put in slavery, subjected to slavery. But we're here now, and the great theologian, Dr. Lincoln, he said he believed, this is the word of Dr. Lincoln, he said he believed that our interest now in Islam, black people's interest in Islam, whether they follow Honorable Elijah Muhammad or after his passing away, Minister Louis Farrakhan, or whether they are with Imam W.D. Muhammad's association, Dr. Lincoln believed that there is more than just a conscious interest. He believed that it's genetic. He calls it the genetic memory. Genetic memory. That's what he called it. And I do believe that too. And that's what the forefathers of Africa believe. They believe that we inherit more than flesh. We also inherit will, and even impart habits and everything unconsciously from our ancestors going way, way far back into the past. But whether we are black, brown, yellow, red, or any other color, all of us have the original life and the original nature and the original will that God put in the first human being that was on this planet Earth. The Creator did that. So we trace all of our life, our social nature, our spiritual nature, the spirit in man, and his social nature. We trace it all back to our first forefather called Adam. And please don't see Adam as flesh. See Adam as a human type. And see Adam in the abstract, not in the concrete. See Adam as a disposition of nature. Our God made the human being to stand up erect, to have a will to stand up erect, not only in his physical posture, but also in his morals, to stand up erect and to use his intelligence and produce for the benefit of other human beings, not just himself, not doing it selfishly, but doing it to benefit the family. That starts right in our little hut, our little house, but it should spread abroad until it includes every member of the human family, because that's what Adam represents. He represents the original type for excellence that can bring excellence and boost excellence that is human and connected with all human beings. God, thank you. God says that he made us from one soul, nafsan wahida in Arabic, Quranic Arabic. He made us from one soul, and then he made of that one soul its mate, female. So male and female were once one together in one soul. Like you students who study life, biology, or whatever, you have one, and then the one splits and become two, and they keep multiplying. So God says he made them of one nefs, one soul, and then he caused it to separate and become male and female. And then he produced from the two of them all the men and women we find on this planet Earth. This is the Quran. These are the exact words of the Quran, of our holy book. Is that picture any different from the one that we get in Genesis? In my opinion, it is not. The same is given to us in Genesis. Then we should understand, with that, we should understand that Muhammad the Prophet didn't come with a lot of knowledge and insight that was given to him, and nobody before him had it. No, he came to reveal to his people and to the world what God revealed to him. Of that was revealed to prophets and messengers before him. This is the Quran, and this is the teachings of our prophet. So we Muslims, I'm speaking to you in particular right now, we should never think that the Quran is separate from the Bible, separate from the Torah, and separate from the Injil, or separate from the Old Testament, and separate from the New Testament, the Gospel of Jesus Christ, peace be on him, and peace be on the servants of God. Never think it's separated. The Arab world, the Muslim world, the national, I shouldn't say Arab, I meant to say nationalist Muslims. Nationalist Muslims and spiritual Muslims or religious Muslims are having a lot of trouble trying to get their life together and trying to unite with each other and work for the good of the Muslim international ummah. Having a lot of trouble doing that. They can't do that. Something is blocking it. And I think the main thing blocking it is that we are going as though we are of a separate lifeline that has no connection with the lifeline of Jews and Christians. Thank you. Praise be to God. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Praise be to God, the Lord, sustainer of the worlds. Yes, this is a very serious matter, and I hope that from the son of Elijah Muhammad, a little big man, and the son, just a little man in my eyes, man. I hope they will hear what I'm saying and will register it, and maybe they will begin to change the way they look at things and progress. Yes, so now here we are. In this time of opportunity, this is definitely the time of opportunity. Look, people wear out like an individual wears out. An individual keep working hard, doing the same thing, and maybe he'll come into great, great fortune or great productivity one day. He lives in his products upon the products of his labor, and he has successes from his loins or from his family, and they are living also upon the products of his labor and extending his labor. And they produce so much, they don't have any worries at all. No cares, no worries. Everything is taken care of. After a while, they become bored. The individual becomes bored. Now I'm going to leave this to others. I've had enough of this. Well, you don't have to always say that. But those people who pushed the world forward in times gone by, past, they have become so tired and bored that they're just throwing up their hands, saying, oh, I've had enough of this. Let others do this now. The spirit wears out, not only for an individual, but wears out for a people. The interest and the spirit to keep up the work wears out, not only for individuals, but also for people, for nations. And that's what we see in the world now. Not also in the president, also in our country, in the United States of America, you find great spirit and great interest in people on the grassroots level and people who have never been responsible for the controls of the national life. They've never had the controls of the national life in their hands. But they have a great will and a spirit to produce for the whole country. I'm not here for politics, but I think Colin Powell would have made a much better president, would have made a much better president. But he was not ready to accept responsibility. His wife wasn't ready for him to carry that. And maybe, and I do believe, it wasn't the time. It's not, it wasn't the time. The time wasn't here. But I believe the time is going to come very soon. And it might not be a Colin Powell. It might be a female. It might be a white. It might be one of us, a female black, an African American. I don't know. But I know eventually, soon, we are going to have motivators step into that position, President of the United States of America, to motivate human life all throughout these United States. We haven't had that in a long time. We had that in presidents more often in 30 years ago, 20 years ago than we have now. We had presidents like that. Presidents that had the life of their people, the life of the whole people of the United States, on their minds and in their hearts. And when they spoke with a strong spirit. And we felt them. And hey, this is a man we should support. This is a man we should support. Not just blacks. I'm not saying we. I'm talking about Americans. Americans felt the person. And they said, this is a person, a man we should support. Well, we haven't seen one lately. But we're going to get them. They're coming. What I want to bring home today, with the help of God, what I want to bring home today is a motivation that should be in every human being. And God has established that in Scripture. In Scripture to His servants. He has established that He wants a certain motivation in every human being. And until the human being had that motivation in the presence of God, the human person is not yet born. What is that motivation? And we leaders are responsible to reach everybody we possibly can reach that are in our congregation or in our hearing range, in the hearing range of our words. We are obligated to reach them. Don't think you're doing a great deal speaking Arabic. Get up and speak Arabic. Nobody understands it but you. The congregation, they didn't go to school. I never did that. I've been able to speak a lot of Arabic for all the time you've been knowing me as your leader. I had already gone to school as a student, high school student. I studied Arabic as a high school student. And then I continued my studies for all the years before I came into the leadership. So when I came into the leadership in 1975, February 1975, after the passing of that big little man, I could have come up there and said, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. كيف الحالك؟ كيف الحالك يا أخي؟ يا إخواني يا إخواني؟ كيف الحال؟ كيف الحال؟ ما شاء الله. I'm speaking with you. I'm giving your language. ما شاء الله. ما شاء الله. يعني. I could have done that, and I could have done it better. Yes, I could have. I could have written my speech almost completely in Arabic. But who am I going to talk to? You don't speak Arabic. What would be the purpose? That would be stupidity on my part. Yes, that would have been stupidity on my part. And I would have walked away from the convention 1975 with nobody following me. Most of my daughters and sons would have left me. They said, hey, you're going crazy. I would have been by myself. But I didn't speak to you in Arabic. In 1975, February 26, I spoke to you in English. And we have to speak to each other in English. Stop showing off with Arabic. We have to understand why we do these strange things. See, we lost our identity to plantation slavery. And some of us think that we just pick it up like you shop for clothes downtown or in the shopping district. Oh, I like this Pakistani identity. Oh, I like this Egyptian identity. And we just shopping for identity and come back from the shopping plaza. يعني كيف الحال يا أخي. Yes, we have to stop looking for an identity. The identity is human. Human being in the best condition. That's the most productive identity any flesh can have. You hear me? Any flesh, black, white, yellow, red, I don't care what it is. The best identity any flesh can have is human identity in its best picture. Motivated to have excellence. Motivated to have excellence. Excellent morals. Excellent intelligence. Excellent work. Excellent production. Excellence. That's the most. And God said, excellence. God said to his servants that he revealed religion to. He said to them, excellence is inscribed upon the nature of every human person. Excellence. The world of foolishness can take us out of the spirit. But when a baby comes here from its mother, if it didn't have excellence inscribed upon its nature, it would never stand up, it would never walk, it would never speak our language. To bring into focus now what I want to bring into focus for this occasion, I'm going to now speak or address Eden. The garden, paradise. Many of the scholars in Islam, they know this, and many learned in the religions of this world, the great religion of this world, they know what I'm going to tell you. They're not looking back when they are looking at Eden. They're looking ahead when they are looking at Eden. Eden is a picture God gives us for us to work to bring it about on this earth. And God is telling us that man's soul and the outer creation is all connected together. We are one as a people, and we are one as creation. Man has to engage the earth. He has to engage the external world with his mind and with his heart. With his mind and with his heart, not just his mind. And in the Quran, Allah says that he has extended everything, caused everything. This word is hard to explain with one word. He has caused everything to come into existence and then spread out from a center, spread out from a core or from a center, and extend and multiply itself, extend itself and multiply itself, and create many, many, many from itself, create many or produce many. Not only our regeneration or reproduction, but this is true of matter itself. The same is true of matter itself. It comes from an origin, from a core, unseen, and then it spreads and it manifests itself, it shows itself, and it continues to reproduce itself and spread and spread and spread. And every time it reproduces itself, it gives independence eventually to that springs off from it. But they all stay within one system, within one law, so they don't lose the lifeline like African Americans do. Go let the interest take you away from the lifeline. Interest should take you away from another profession or another person doing another work. But interest should never take you away from the excellent lifeline of African American people. So he says that he has caused everything that exists in creation, everything, to extend knowledge and mercy. In several places in the Holy Quran, in our sacred book, he says, ilman wa ilman, just only ilman. Ilman means knowledge. Ilman also means science. But then he also says, God also says in our holy book, ilman wa rahma, science and mercy. Science and mercy. And now, that is to say that if you work with knowledge and be scientific minded, eventually your work is going to be a mercy in the human community. Isn't that what education does? Isn't that what science does? Isn't that what it does? It brings us benefits that relieve burden on human life. It enriches the environment, the community, so much.
For more on the ministry of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, call or write Ministry of W. Dean Muhammad, 1-708-798-6750. All right, Ministry of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For Muslim Journal, see local distributors. And thanks for listening.